Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Mark Shaw and broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity. I also speak with authors of great coaching related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. And sometimes, like I'm going to do tonight, I coach listeners who call in live on the air. So feel free to tune in the first and third Sunday of every month for another exciting episode of Mark My Words. Tonight is another live coaching hour. The number to call in, if you'd like to be coached or you have a question, please feel free to call in at 646-716-9397. And we already have some callers in the queue, so we're going to jump right in and get some started with some coaching live here on Mark My Words. And our first call, first up, is Deborah, who is calling in from Santa Cruz. Hello, Deborah. Thank you for calling Mark My Words.
Hello, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Well, certainly I'm excited to have you call in. So tell us a little bit, give us a brief synopsis of what's going on for you. What am I helping you with tonight?
Well, let's see. So I work with professional men who have a lot of success in their business lives but can't talk to a woman to save their life. And I help them have as much success in their dating lives as they do in their professional lives. And where I'm stuck is, so this is a new business for me. I am moving from being a massage therapist and a tantra teacher to a dating and relationship coach, you know, specializing in men. And I have people who want to work with me, but I get really stuck in, like, there's a place where I get stuck, which is the follow-through piece. Like, I'm really excited to, make first contact with someone, and then once I get them interested, I, like, freeze.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. So this is a new business for you, and you, you're up and running, and then you have an initial contact with somebody, and when it comes time to follow up with them, you're not following up with them. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct. Like, everything becomes more important than following through.
Okay. So you've got some real procrastinating energy around this. So how do you feel about the fact that that's happening for you?
God. Well, so I'm a very body-oriented person. And hearing that question, like, I feel my... You know, like, I feel my belly get tight. I feel my chest get tight. I feel, like, tight in my throat. And, there's this feeling of frustration, disappointment. I can totally imagine it's what my clients feel like when they're on one side of the room and they see somebody that they want to connect with on the other. Like, that... you know, it's like there's, I can totally see it, but I just, I, my mouth won't work, my feet won't work. I just can't quite get to the other side of the room. Or in this case, like, for whatever reason, the emails don't go out, the telephone calls don't get followed through with. It's like that super vulnerable place. And I, like I said, I can, you know, it just came, it just occurred to me that this is probably exactly what my clients feel like.
Great. So interesting. So that's like, that's a really great insight right there. Because that's going to help you be a little bit more in touch with what your clients are experiencing, right? So if you're able to describe in that kind of detail what they're experiencing, right, that's going to really help you be able to connect with them in a more powerful way. So it's actually great that you are having that feeling because you can use it to connect to your clients. Let's talk about how we can have that feeling not stop you, because the fact that it's stopping you, that's not so great.
Right.
It's not serving you, right? So let me ask you a question, Deborah. What do you, or what would you tell a client if they told you that those were the feelings they were experiencing when they want to talk to a woman, that they're interested in?
So I would say that's awesome, that what they're in touch with is their desire, that like from a purely physical level, coming from a tantric background, I know that the belly is about power, the heart is about connection, and the throat is about speaking your peace into the world, putting your, having your impact move into the world. So I would say, you know, I can feel, you know, I can feel that desire and that place, that, you know, the resistance is just because their desire is that big.
Yeah.
So their desire for that which is on the other side of resistance is really big, and you know, the fear that's holding them back is because there's so much desire there. There's so much desire to have an impact, a desire to connect.
Yeah. Okay, great. So let's go with that for a moment. Let's suppose, let me ask you, as you think about your power, your connection, and your voice, what is it that you, what is it that you fear about connecting with those in a way that gets those out into the world?
Well, there's a couple things that come up here, you know, with that question. One is something about like not being able to have my desire, like not being able to have a thriving coaching business with an impact. I mean, the ultimate impact that I want to have on the world is, you know, having men feel in their, you know, being in a really powerful place to connect with amazing, powerful women. And so like I guess my fear is not being able to have that come to fruition. Not being able to serve my clients, not knowing what to say, not knowing how to help them get past that.
Okay. So as you, when it comes time to go ahead and make that follow-up call or send out that follow-up email to somebody, right, tell me a little bit more about the thoughts that you have that come to mind in that moment when you're about to go ahead and reach out to them.
So the thoughts are, this is something I should be doing. Maybe they don't want to hear from me. Maybe I don't know enough to help them. maybe they won't want to pay me for my services. God.
Okay. So, all right. So why would it be that they wouldn't want to hear from you or pay you for your services? What is your sort of smaller self tell you is the reason for them not wanting to hear from you or pay you?
Oh God. You know, the first thing that jumped into my head was the not good enough gremlin.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. A lot of not good enough gremlins.
Yeah. And you know, there's this like interesting thing that just popped up for me, which is like, you know, no matter how much you get paid, no matter how many clients you have, that not good enough piece isn't, you know, like it's somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So I don't know enough. I'm not good enough for them to want to pay me. I'm not good enough for them to want to work with me. And I'm really just a pain in the ass if I call them because I'm not good enough for any of this. That's kind of what I'm hearing. I'm also hearing...
Ouch!
yeah, how's it feel to hear that? It feels a little painful to hear that?
Oh my God, super painful. Like, yeah. Ouch.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I also heard you say that one of your thoughts was, I should be doing this. Tell me a little bit more about that.
I should. Well, it's the natural step that happens when somebody says, you know, yes to an offer that you make, you should follow through with it. I mean, why wouldn't you follow through if you put the offer out in the first place?
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm just wondering what, you know, knowing what I know as a coach about the difference between something we should do versus something we could do when we have a choice, right? Because we always have choice. So if we reframe that making that call, reaching out to them, is something that you could do. You don't have to do it.
Right.
In fact, you haven't. You've been choosing not to, right? So mm-hmm. you could do it. You have choice. Okay. So I'm curious.
Well, but,
so what you've got is. Go ahead.
I was going to say when I hear you say, I could do that. Like all of a sudden, there's kind of a curiosity of like, what would happen if I did make it? Like, what would the conversation be like? You know, what are what if I call him up and I talk to him about why he wants to work with me, I wonder what his answer would be. Like, what, like, yeah, it's definitely got a very different,
it changes the energy up a bit.
Yeah, it's, I actually kind of feel like in my chest, there's kind of a bubbly feeling, a sort of, it's definitely more of a curiosity than a like, oh my God, I'm going to call him and he's going to say he's not going to want to hear from me.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like it feels lighter for you.
Yeah. It feels lighter for me. You know, one of the things that I enjoy about coaching and why I think I'm really good at the first contact piece is because I'm really good at, like, it's not even that I'm good at, but, like, I enjoy putting my attention on someone in a way that they're not used to and really being curious about, like, what makes them tick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like that's something
so
I
like
enjoy,
it sounds like you get back in touch with that when you think about how you could reach out to them. But it gets you back in touch
with
what you love about coaching the most.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So So when you're having the thoughts of, I don't know enough, I'm not good enough for them to want to work with me, pay me for my services, they're not going to want to hear from me, right? How does that make you feel?
My throat closes up, and the thoughts that come into mind are, I'm too far out of the box, I don't do the normal dating thing, my methods aren't, you know, I've had success with, you know, friends and couples that I've worked with and played with, you know, just kind of giving them some ideas here and there, but like, it's all untried, and what if I fail?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And underneath that, like the failure, you know, what if I fail? It's like there's this sort of unreasonable voice that's like, if you fail, you will die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm hearing thoughts. So when you have all of those thoughts, what emotions come to mind? The feelings that you talked about, you said your throat closes up, right? So I hear that it restricts your voice, and it restricts your power and your ability to connect. What emotions do you feel when all that's happening?
It's absolutely fear-based. Like,
so you feel fear?
I feel fear. I feel fear that I'll fail, that I'll be a fraud, that I'll be run out on a trail, that like it's like the extremity of failing is crazy. Like there's a part of me that knows that it's like, oh, I'm gonna fail and then I'm gonna learn something and then I'm gonna go to the next thing. But like literally in my body, it's just it's over the top.
Yeah. In fact, I'm reminded, Deborah, of do you remember the Saturday Night Live character that Al Franken used to do, Stuart Smalley? And he was this like self-help guru spoof.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do a show called I'm Good Enough, I'm Smart Enough, and Doggone It, People Like Me. And he would talk on the show, and he was like a total mess, right? And he was like trying to be a self-help guru. Meanwhile, he couldn't even help himself, which is the irony of the whole thing. And he would always go off on a tangent after talking about these empowering things where he would end up saying stuff like, but then I'm afraid that one day it's just all going to come crashing down. Everybody's going to learn that I'm a fraud and I'm going to die homeless and penniless and 20 pounds overweight and no one will ever love me. And then he stops himself and he says, but that's okay because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, right? So the catastrophizing that he would do about his failure is what I'm reminded of as you talk about, like, the intense fear that, like, your world will come crashing down if you fail at this.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just wondering how that fear might be serving you.
Well, it stops me from putting myself in a position where my world could come crashing down.
Great. So it protects you, right? It protects you from taking action that part of you believes would cause you pain and discomfort.
Right.
Okay. So when you're thinking all these thoughts about, look, I'm not good enough, the world's going to come crashing down around me, I'm going to fail at this, and I'll never be able to do anything else, that I'm going to look like a fool, and you start feeling all of that intense fear, right? What is it that you do at that point? Is you don't do anything. You procrastinate. Or like you said earlier, you let other things get in the way. Everything else becomes
so
much more important.
I do a lot of dishes.
You do a lot of dishes, yeah. Yeah, so your home is probably immaculate and spotless. Yeah. And a lot of people do that. We procrastinate, you know. I know people that they have to clean off their desk and have everything perfectly arranged before they could start working. And then, of course, they never work because they're too busy cleaning the desk.
Right. And there's I definitely do that piece of like, oh, I don't have all the, I don't have my foundational pieces in order. I don't have my opt-in page. And I don't, you know, all of that certainly jumps into my head.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. And those are the practical pieces. But, you know, my guess is that the fear holds you back from even doing those. So I think underlying this is all the fear. Because the truth is, Deborah, you don't have to have all that stuff in place before you start coaching people. Having that
right.
stuff in place is what gets people in the door. But you've already got some people in the door, and you're not following up with them anyway. So I don't think having an opt-in page is going to help you with this.
No, I don't either. I don't either. And, you know, the other ironic piece about this is that, like, you know, I just, when I notice, you know, when I notice myself not doing something, and then I watch others do something, it, like, there's this craziness that, like, I just get super, what is it? You know, I notice that I get jealous about it, and then they go do more dishes. It's like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so there's something really about doing the dishes that sounds like it somehow grounds you and distracts you.
Yeah.
So how do you feel when you're doing the dishes? What emotions, and physically, what do you feel when you're doing the dishes? So feelings and emotions.
Well, this is super funny that you would ask. Okay, so I lived for a while without running water in my 20s in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. And so, uh-huh. like, there's a way in which doing the dishes makes me feel super abundant. Like, the fact that I can uh-huh. turn on water and it's just there and it's hot. And then that I'm getting something accomplished. And, like, there's this beauty to taking chaos and making it order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Which is the basis of, you know, anybody who suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder. My understanding is that, you know, it's about order and control and a fear of chaos, which is why they have, you know, very strict routines, things being in certain places, you know, and all that kind of stuff happening, right? And because it reduces the anxiety. So, and not that I'm suggesting you have OCD. But, you know, I think we all have some mild forms of all of those things, right? Because that's what any of those things are. They're really just extreme. They're normal behaviors carried to an extreme to the point where they really inhibit functioning, right? So, but, you know, but what I'm connecting there is that it reduces your anxiety and gives you a sense of order in the chaos that you're feeling around your world falling apart if you move forward and contact your prospective client. That's what I'm hearing.
Right.
From you. How accurate is that? Am I in the ballpark?
Yeah. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, as I was hearing you speak that back to me, I'm like, oh my God, that's just so, you know, it's, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's
all right.
Right on the head.
So if you were to, how helpful would it be if you had a different set of thoughts other than, I'm going to fail, I'm not good enough, and this is something that I have to do and I'm supposed to do? What difference would it make if you had a different set of thoughts?
It would be the difference between a failing business and a thriving business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me ask you this. Go ahead.
And getting to do what I feel like, you know, is going to have a positive impact on you know, on people around me.
Mm-hmm. Great. So if you were to have a more empowering thought or set of thoughts around reaching out to your client prospects, who, by the way, need your help, and I know that you know that, that's why you're in this. You know, your people are waiting for you. And if you were to have a different set of thoughts around reaching out to them, what would some of those thoughts be?
Let's see. Some of those thoughts would be something around curiosity around how I could support somebody. Curiosity about what, you know, what was going on for them, like what are the stories that are holding them back. Some of the thoughts would be excitement about the adventure of somebody's transformational experience.
Okay.
The payoff for having an amazing, you know, dating life, connective, or sexual life, or, you know, I feel like the payoff for the kind of work I do, you know, getting to connect, and, you know, human connection is what we're all about. Or connection is, my belief is that, you know, connection is what we're all about. And when you have empowered connection, be it as a man or a woman, you know, whatever the gender, you know, whomever it is that you're trying to connect with, it's like when we can connect in an empowered way, it just, there's so much possibility that flows out of that.
Right.
You know,
so what I'm hearing from you there, is that the new thought would be, wow, I'm really curious as to what's in this person's way, what's holding them back, and how I can help them. And that leads you to feel some emotions like excitement. And you didn't say the word joy, but I kind of hear it as you talk about it, because you got right into like your core beliefs when you started going there. Your core beliefs and what drives you around connection and passion and all that stuff. It's like, you know, I could have let you go probably for another half an hour talking about what you believe in, about how human beings connect and how important that is to us, right? So I could tell that something that's really exciting and lights you up. And by the way, I also want to say I'm really impressed and intrigued, and of course it makes sense given your background, with how in touch you are with where in your body these emotions live and what that means. So I encourage all my listeners out there to tune in when you're feeling stuff. Tune into where in your body it feels, and see what that all means. So I like that you're able to do that pretty intuitively, given your training and background. So if you were thinking about like, wow, I wonder what's holding them back. I wonder what difference we can make, and that leaves you feeling excited and joyful. What's something that you would do this week? If you were thinking and feeling that,
I would follow up with the people that I've already got, you know, on my list, and I would stop procrastinating about the note that I was going to send out for people to let them know about what events I was doing, and also offer an exploratory opportunity to see if working together would be interesting to them.
Great. So how would you feel about taking some part, some subset, or all of those actions this week?
So in this moment with you on the phone, I'm like ecstatic, and it feels easy, and it feels obvious.
Great. Before you continue, let me ask you this question. What would it take for you to sustain that now for the next couple of days? What would have to happen for you to sustain that and follow through and take those actions?
So what popped into my head was, I just have to decide. Like, I just have to say yes to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And somehow the yes has to be bigger than the fear.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you be saying yes to? Like, in the bigger scheme? I mean, obviously you're saying yes to going ahead and following through with those action steps, but philosophically, what are you actually saying yes to that's bigger than all of this when you do that?
So what popped into my head was, I'm saying yes to connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying yes to showing up in in my kind of, I'm saying yes to showing up as my advocate and my guide, which isn't quite the right word for it, but there's a way in which, you know, when I work with people, I show up as this, like, it's just, you know, I'm loving and I'm fierce at the same time, and it feels like the best, like the best part. Like they get the best part of me, and I get to be the best part of me.
I like that. And where do you feel that sense of connection that you're saying yes to?
It's the place, like, between my belly and my heart. Like, there's this, it's both of those places together, but, like, there's a, it's, I would say, you know, again, in a tantric way, it's like, it's where the power center and the heart center kind of overlap, and it's a Venn diagram.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's terrific. So what would it take for you to declare a big fat yes to you and to the world you want to create for yourself and for your clients? Because it is bigger than your fear. You can get in touch with it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like I said, in this moment, I feel it super clear. And, you know, just being reminded of, like, the way, you know, the way I feel when I'm in that heart-oriented, like, you know, the phrase that popped into my head is, like, this heart-oriented love warrior. It's like, come on. You know, it's not that hard. You can walk across the room and talk to her. You can, you know, it's like, it's that place where it's like, not only do I see the possibility for my clients, but I have that knowing of, like, oh, this is the way they need to hear it.
Yeah.
It's like a step into that place of flow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's interesting because what I'm hearing is that this is so parallel to, I imagine, many of the conversations you're talking about having with your clients when they're afraid to step out there, get in touch with their power, get in touch with their voice, reach out and connect with somebody that they're interested in. Right. So it's just, it's an interesting parallel, right? We teach best what we need most to learn. that's what they say anyway, right? So.
Oh my God. Well, it's. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. You're on. Go.
Okay. So just as you said that, it's just like, yeah. that's the piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's sort of what I teach men is it's like, yes, you know, step into your warrior, step into your heart and, you know, speak your desire.
Yeah, absolutely. And say yes to your life. So I'm curious, Deborah, then what's one action you're willing to take tomorrow to start moving forward?
I am so willing to not, I am willing to text back the 5 clients. I am willing and able to follow up with the clients that have already contacted me.
Great. So you're going to text the 5 clients that have already contacted you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Now, I heard you say that you're willing and able. How likely, how committed are you to doing that on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being, forget it, not going to happen, and 10 being, oh, it's like, it's already done, it's in the bag.
So it's funny when you said that, it's like it was an 8.5 and then it popped up to a 9.
Ah, wonderful. Cool. How would you feel about letting me know? Reach out to me on Facebook tomorrow and let me know you did it.
I would be delighted.
Wonderful. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So I will look for a message from you on Facebook tomorrow by what time?
By 2:00 Pacific time. And I'm curious if you'd like a private message or you would like that like on your Facebook.
Oh, either one. You could do it privately, or if you want to kind of announce it to the world and other listeners can also look and see that you did it, and that way we're all holding you accountable. That would be great.
Yes.
Either way.
And I would like to do it publicly because that's also a bit of an edge for me, would be to be public about it.
Great. So wonderful. So go ahead and just post that on my wall. I will certainly see it and I'll respond to that. So what's the biggest insight, Deborah, that you got from this call?
How the thing that I'm teaching is the thing that I have to learn, and the thing that I thought it was different than, mm-hmm. like there's a clarity that I've gotten from this call about what I teach mm-hmm. and how I need to learn it that is been really different, up until this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought Great. That the lesson I had to learn was a very different lesson, and I like this lesson a whole lot better.
Wonderful.
Like this is,
well, good. Well,
this is a lesson I'm willing to take on.
Wonderful. I'm really glad to hear that. That's great, Deborah. So I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. And thank you so much for calling in to Mark My Words tonight. And glad we're able to help you there.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Mark. This is a game changer. And I've been asking and getting coaching and for, but this is like so on point and so, like, there's just not a turning back piece at this point.
Wonderful. You're welcome. I look forward to staying in touch. Thank you so much, Deborah, and have a great night.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. So sometimes what we need is just, a good energy shift, a good shift in perspective, and a new way of looking at things. In fact, it was Wayne Dyer who said, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. So the number to call, if you'd like to call us and speak to me live here on Mark My Words, is 646-716-9397. And we're going to take a short break while I announce some great stuff that's available to you as a Mark My Words listener. From our sponsor, audible.com, as well as an exciting webinar program that I've got coming up that I'll be leading. So let me share with you both of those things. I'm getting all tongue-tied tonight. So first, let's talk about our sponsor. I'm happy to say that Mark My Words is sponsored by audible.com, which is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, which you can listen to on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and 1 month of the service for free as a trial. So that's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And there's some really great titles that relate directly to tonight's topic that are available on Audible. So starting with an audiobook called Moving the Needle, Get Clear, Get Free, and Get Going in Your Career, Business, and Life, written by Joe Sweeney and Mike Yorkey. It's a detailed system that will help you achieve your professional and personal goals. This highly practical guide outlines a change process that can be applied to professional or personal goals, giving listeners a concrete plan for making big things happen. Rather than blindly shooting for the moon, listeners will formulate a solid, systematic, actionable plan that can only result in progress. And then there's The Art of Critical Decision Making, written by Michael Roberto. Learn to approach the critical decisions in your life with a more seasoned, educated eye with this fascinating 24-lecture series that explores how individuals, groups, and organizations as well make effective decisions. The heart of this accessible series is a thorough examination of decision-making at three key levels, beginning with decisions made at the individual level, where among the many things you learn is that intuition is more than just a gut instinct. In fact, it represents a powerful pattern recognition capability. So that's the art of critical decision making. And then I also invite you to join me for a lively and engaging live webinar training led by moi, led by me, for coaches and for HR professionals to get certified in the Core Values Index Assessment Tool, also known as the CVI. Many of you listening now have taken the CVI, and if you haven't, you can take it on my website. Just go to markshawlcoaching.com, and you'll see right there on the front page a big banner to go ahead and take the CVI coaching assessment. It's an amazing coaching tool for coaches. It's also a revolutionary hiring tool for HR professionals. So visit markmywordsradio.com and click on the Coaches Only tab and read all about the CVI Certified Practitioner Program. That's going to take place beginning on August 26th, and that'll be via live webinar. So that said, let's go ahead to our second caller who has been patiently waiting on the line. So next we've got Nancy from Jersey City. Nancy, thank you for holding on the line and thanks for calling Mark My Words. How are you tonight?
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So what are we helping you with tonight?
Let's see. I don't know really where to start. So for the past 3 years, three years ago, I decided to leave a job that I had for 5 years, and because I wanted to shift my energies in other directions and go in a direction that had less stress and something where I was able to use my skills and just other things. And so ever since then, I've had very many opportunities, job opportunities, but nothing has really seemed to stick. And I've gotten a lot of projects and a lot of work, but everything seems to be in this world of scarcity where I don't have enough money to do the things that I want or to live the life that I want to live. And this most recently, I had a job opportunity that was a temporary, like a just a temporary 3 month gig, and they were looking to make it permanent, but then last minute they decided not to make it permanent, so I was left without a job, which is tough, as you can imagine, being without a job, especially in the, they say the job market is getting better, but it's still very difficult. And so now I'm in a position where my parents have offered for me to move in with them in order for me to catch up and try to, you know, get a job where I could pay off my debts and try to catch up financially so that I could take a bigger step forward when I, you know, after I decide to move out of their house. But I'm really scared of making that decision because I feel, you know, I haven't lived with them since I was 17 or 18. And I feel that it's, I don't know, a step backwards, a big step backwards.
Sure.
And so I just would like to find some clarity, and I really want to make an empowered decision and not just something that's a bandage approach to try to ignore the problems or not fix the things that are there. And I also want to be empowered by my career choices, which haven't been it's like instead of being at the cause of creating my career opportunities, I'm being at the effect of taking on jobs that don't pay me enough to make a living.
Mm-hmm. That's been a pattern for you, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How does it feel when you say that?
is very discouraging. You know, I feel that that's not really the direction that I, or that's not how I would like for my career to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. What, if you were living according to your passion and making the contribution to the world that you felt you were put here to make through your career,
mm-hmm.
what would your career look like? What would you be causing?
I would love to work in a university setting, mm-hmm. working with young adults.
Mm-hmm. What is it about that lights you up?
I just love young minds and guiding them and trying to help them figure out what they're passionate about and what they would like to contribute in the world. I think that there's a really big need for that kind of mentorship and that guidance. And, you know, even when I started my career at Hudson Pride, that at the LGBT center that I used to work for, I started off wanting to work with LGBT youth and in the form of a LGBT mentoring program. And then I got shifted into a bigger role, which was a great opportunity, but it took me away from that original passion that I had to work with young people.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, you know, I'm smiling, Nancy, because as you're talking about young minds and help them figure out what they're passionate about and how they want to contribute to the world, I'm thinking about what we landed on with Deborah in the previous call about teaching best what we need to learn the most, because that's kind of where you're at right now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a recurring theme here on Mark My Words tonight, teaching best what we need most to learn. In fact, I'll tell you an interesting story about that, if I may digress for just a moment. I was once participating down in Washington, D.C. when I lived in Baltimore many, many lifetimes ago, and I was part of a gay men's meditation group. And there was a man in the group who, he was a deaf man, and he didn't know anything about what I did for a living. And at the time, I was working in higher education, actually, in a university setting. I was counseling and advising college students as a residence life professional. And he didn't know what I did for a living. Nobody in the group did, and it was our first meeting. And we would meditate, and then we would share any messages we had for each other in the group that seemed to come to mind during the meditation. And he had said that he pictured me in a schoolhouse teaching best what I needed most to learn myself. And I was like, wow. So that's actually where I first learned that lesson. It's been a theme throughout my life. So I guess it's no accident that it's coming up as a theme for my two callers tonight. So,
yes.
So there's something in you, Nancy, about finding direction and helping other people find direction, finding their passion, right? And it sounds to me like you're feeling a little bit lost in that journey yourself right now.
Yes, definitely. And I'm also burdened by a lot of debt, because I feel like for the past, pretty much my whole career, I always put my, I've worked for nonprofit organizations where it has a really great mission and great work, but it doesn't pay very well. And so I've always sacrificed my finances in order to do something, to be of service to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, Nancy, if you were to have one particular really great outcome from this call, what would it be?
I need to decide whether I'm going to stay in my apartment or take the leap and move to Florida to live with my parents, which, you know, it's not living with my, it's not like I'm going to be living in there. I own the house that they live in. So it's kind of like moving into the house that I own to live with them, but live rent free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get along with them very well, and it's not, I would like to feel a little clearer about that opportunity, or see whether it's an opportunity or whether I should just try to figure out another solution or just keep going on my own, or, you know, because so many people tell me, so many of my, you know, so many people tell me they wish they had the opportunity to not have to pay rent for even, you know, a few months just so that they can catch up. And I have that opportunity, but I have this whole story around why it's not the best decision, or see it as a failure.
Okay. All right. So I had a really great question I was going to ask you that just flew out of my mind. So hang on a second. See if I can get it to fly back in. No, it wasn't a question. It was a statement. So, and it was that, so while we might be able to have a miracle happen, and you'll be very clear on that decision and be able to make it, I think that what's probably really likely, though, is to at least give you some more information to look at, you know, if you had more data to base your decision on, you know, that how much of a difference would that make for you?
Oh, that would be huge. And I know you're really good at doing that, so.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. Thank you. So here's what I'd like you to do. Go ahead and stand up.
Okay.
And I've done this before on the show, and I've actually encouraged, and I'll do it again, my all the listeners, if you have a difficult choice you're looking to make in your life, feel free to follow along and do exactly what I'm instructing Nancy to do, and just fill in the blanks with your own challenge. So you're standing up, Nancy?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. What I want you to do is just imagine for a moment, from the spot where you're standing, that if you were to take one step forward and to the left on an angle out in front of you to the left, you'd be standing in the realm of moving into the house with your parents. And if you were to instead, from where you're standing, take one step forward and to the right on a diagonal to your right in front of you, you would be stepping into the realm of staying in your current apartment and trying to make it work, as you had said, okay? And what I want you to do for right now is just stand in that neutral zone between the two of them and just close your eyes and just take three deep breaths with me. So inhale, one, and exhale, let it go, and just allow your body to relax as you exhale. Inhale again, and hold it, and then allow your body to exhale all of its tension out through your breath as you let it go. And then one more deep breath, inhale, hold it, and get ready to let all the tension in your body go, and exhale, let it all go. And I want you to just relax. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to take, keeping your eyes closed this whole time, take one step forward and to the left into the realm of moving into the house with your parents, which is your future situation if you make the change. So go ahead and take one step forward and to the left.
Okay.
And I just want you to stay there for a moment. Keep your eyes closed. And just make some mental notes, which I'll ask you about later, of what emotions do you feel there? What thoughts come to mind? What does your body tell you? What's your body's position? How are you standing? What's your posture like? And what other information just kind of seems to come to mind? What do you hear? What do you see? What are your all of your other senses pick up? Your sense of touch, your sense of smell. Stand there with that for a moment. And now what I want you to do is, keeping your eyes closed, go ahead and take one step back to your neutral zone.
Okay.
One step back and to the right. And just go ahead and kind of shake all of that off. Keep your eyes closed, but just kind of shake your arms, shake your legs, shake your shoulders, your hips, kind of like a dance. And just let yourself shake all of that off.
Okay.
And let's do another three deep breaths. In, hold, and exhale. In, hold, and exhale. And one more in, hold, and let it go. And now I want you to go ahead and take one step forward and to the right into the realm of staying in your current apartment and taking whatever steps you would take to make life work for yourself.
Okay.
And pay attention to what thoughts come to mind. What emotions are you feeling? What do you see around you? What do you hear around you? What can you feel around you? What are your senses picking up? What's your intuition telling you? Body telling you? What's your posture right now? And just keep your eyes closed and stay with that for a few moments. Now go ahead and take a step back and to your left, back into your neutral zone. And take a deep breath and let it go. And shake it off. Shake out your arms, shake out your legs, shake out your hips, shoulders.
Okay.
And tell me, what did you experience from that exercise?
Well, it was really interesting. I think, you know, when I moved into the zone of with my parents, if you would have told me to guess what I would have felt, I would have felt, you know, I would have thought anxious or like, you know, I shouldn't do that, or it's like I failed, like I'm giving up. But I actually, when I moved into it, I felt a little bit of comfort. And mm-hmm. a little bit of relief, you know, I just felt kind of like when, you know, you go home, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of how I was feeling about it. Even though, like, I've been so anxious about, like, no, that can't be the decision. Because of all the meaning I'm attaching to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, I stepped into the keeping my apartment and trying to figure out, it was more of an anxious feeling, just because then I would have to, you know, figure things out, like, how am I going to make it work? What am I going to do? And, I'm really afraid of that, you know, that hamster wheel of, just be, you know, where you just exist to pay bills and you don't, like, you're not able to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling that I get from staying in my current apartment, where mm-hmm. I just, you know, I don't want to get stuck in that, where I just you know, I'm not able to pay for any of my debt. I'm not able to save any money for the future, and I'm not able to enjoy the things that life offers because I'm in just paying bills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. So how much debt are you in?
$13,000.
Okay. And if you were to go ahead and move into the house with your parents, how much time do you project you would need to do that in order to eliminate that debt?
I would say between a year and a year and a half, I would say.
Okay. Okay. So here's the thing that I'm wondering about, Nancy, is what would it be if you did go back, if you did go move into the house of your folks, what would you do to ensure your success that's different than what you're doing now?
Well, I think the difference that I see now is I'm making choices out of a state of desperation because I need the money to survive. Where I feel like if I didn't have the responsibilities of like having to pay rent and having, then I could make a more empowering choice and wait for the right opportunity instead of just taking anything just because I need the money right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I would have a little bit of, but then that comes with its prices also, or the cost also, because, you know, I'll be away from my community. I'll be away from my friends. I'll be away from the place, you know, the place that I have chosen to call home. And I will be, you know, I'll be away from all of that. So that's the cost that it would come with, you know, not having to have the responsibility of paying rent.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. Absolutely. And you know, that's a very common and normal anxiety to have when you think about moving, you know, far away from where home is, you know. So that makes sense that you'd feel that way. So, you know, one of the things that I'm aware of with regard to making choices is the importance of making conscious choices versus fear-based choices. So let me explain a little about what those are. Conscious choices are choices that we make from a place of love, passion, commitment, right? They're things that we freely choose because they serve us in a very positive, energetic way. Okay. Fear-based choices are choices that we make in order to avoid something bad happening. Okay. So if I was to meet somebody who feeds the homeless in a soup kitchen every week as a volunteer, and I was to ask them, oh, you know, how come you choose to do that? If they were to say, well, because I feel like I just want to give back. I mean, I have what some people don't, and you know, we're all in this world together. We need to work together, and it just makes me feel good to give back. Okay, great. That's probably a conscious choice. But if they were to say something like, "Well, because I'm afraid that if I don't, like, I'm going to go to hell when I die for not serving my fellow human being," right? That would be then a fear-based choice. Same behavior. But the motivation behind it is fear as opposed to conscious freedom, right? So as you think of going to Florida for a year to a year and a half versus staying in the northern New Jersey area, which do you think is a fear-based choice and which do you think is the love or conscious-based choice?
I don't know. It's I think there's fear in each one. I think there's a little bit of fear in each choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's going to be. It's the core motivation, though, that you want to look at. Like if you go to Florida, is that primarily being motivated to avoid some negative consequence, or is it to really free you up to move forward? And if you stay where you are, is that to avoid some negative consequence, or is it something that's really going to free you up to move forward?
Okay, so I guess staying in New Jersey would be to avoid negative consequences.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that would be to avoid what negative consequences?
It would be to avoid moving to Florida and feeling like a failure.
Uh-huh, okay. And now tell me about the choice of moving to Florida for the year or 2 year or the year and a half.
I feel that moving to Florida for the year and a half, like with the way you just phrased it, it would free me up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So that's, how valuable is it to have that insight and to consider that information?
How what?
How valuable is it to have that insight and consider that information?
I mean, that's huge because, like I said, prior to this conversation, I was more the other way around, where I thought the best decision was to just stay where I am and just push through and make it work, even if it means, you know, taking whatever job I would like, or taking whatever job pays the bills, instead of taking a job, instead of, you know, taking a job that I love and that I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And so while that doesn't necessarily give you the answer, right, at least you now have some more data to look at. Because here's the thing, Nancy. To me, I mean, I don't have a preference for which one you choose. I can't say to you which one is going to be better for you, because truly, I don't know. And I think even the listeners out there, some have one point of view, some have another, right? So it's really, whatever anybody else thinks doesn't really matter. It really comes to what's in your heart and soul. And only you'll know what's right for you. I know it'd be so much easier if someone can just tell us that stuff, right?
I know, Mark. But, I thought that that's what this call was about. No, I'm just kidding.
I wish I could. So, you know, but what I'm hoping is that you've got some more data to make this choice. And it sounds like that you do, because you surprised yourself when you stepped forward into the lab. You said if you had thought about it and predicted it, you would have come up with actually the opposite of the experience that you actually had. And I think that's one of the important things about, and Deborah, my previous caller, talked about this with being, you know, with having her experience with tantric techniques. Where, you know, what happens to your body? Your body tells you so much. And, you know, our heads mess us up. Our hearts guide us. Our heads mess us up.
That's so true.
So when we get out of our head and in, right? So you get out of your head and into your body when making a difficult choice. You know, that can give you really some more information. And again, it never means that, okay, great, now I know what to do and I have no fear anymore, right? It always takes courage to do the thing that's different from the thing we've been doing. Even if the thing we've been doing hasn't been working. Imagine being in a horrible, abusive relationship, how difficult it is for people to get out of those. The fear of doing something different is huge, even though the person is stuck in something that's really bad for them, right? So making a change is something that we fear so much. So it takes courage to do it. And courage is not having no fear. The definition of courage is doing something in the face of fear. Think about jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. for your first time. Have you ever done that, by the way?
No, I haven't. I'm actually going to be doing it for my 35th birthday in September.
Oh, no way. How funny is that? Okay, cool. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you were to wait until you had no fear, when would you jump?
Never.
Exactly. The courageous thing is feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So, of course, there's going to be fear whenever we make a choice. And it's hard to tell sometimes if that fear is really serving us and is protecting us from danger, or if it's just fear that holds us back. And that might be a question to ponder for yourself, too, after this call, too. Is the fear really protecting you from something, or is it stopping you from doing something that's going to serve you? You know, Mother Nature programmed a good dollop of fear into us because as children, we needed it to survive. We needed it so that we knew that if a stranger came up and spoke to us, we knew we needed to run away, right? And that saved our lives and that kept us safe. But we don't need it anymore. It's still necessary if you're standing, you know, on a train track with a train coming. Okay, then the fear, yeah, you probably want it there, okay? But having a conversation with another person, or most of the choices that we have to make and the things that we might be ready to do, the fear doesn't really serve us. So that's something to explore as well.
Yeah, and thank you so much for that. I think the exercise was amazing, and I'm definitely going to use it in the future for when I'm making other choices, because I think you're right. You know, I'm always stuck in my head, and I forget to listen to my body. And your body does have a lot of information.
Yep, it really does. Great. So
thank you for that.
You're so welcome, Nancy. Absolutely, my pleasure. When is it that you're planning on making this decision by?
Oh, I have to make the decision by Friday.
Okay, great. Will you reach out and let me know what you decided?
Yes, I definitely will. I'd be happy to.
Great. Cool. And again, you can private message me, or if you want to post it on my wall, that's fine too, so that listeners might be curious, but totally up to you.
Okay, will do.
Great. So what's the biggest insight you got from this call, Nancy?
To listen to my body and to listen to my intuition. Like, you know, a lot of times I search for answers outside of myself, and I feel like I need to learn to pay attention, not just to what my mind is telling me, but just holistically, like what my body and everything is telling me.
Hmm. Great. And you might want to give a listen or a read to The Art of Critical Decision Making by Michael Roberto, which I actually found on audible.com. Because when I prepare for these shows, knowing what the topics are that I'm going to be coaching people on, I usually look for two books that are relevant. So that's the one that I found when I was thinking about you before the show. The Art of Critical Decision Making by Michael A. Roberto. So,
great. I'll definitely look it up.
Yeah, he talks about the use of intuition. So there might be something in there for you as well. So, Nancy, this is great. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you on Friday. You're so welcome. And hearing what the decision is that you made and how you feel about it.
Great. Thank you. I'll definitely let you know.
You got it. Thanks so much, Nancy. And
all right, thanks, Mark.
I'm glad to hear from you. You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Mark My Words. So very cool. Get out of our heads and into our bodies. That's a really good way to go sometimes when we're trying to figure out some of the more complicated things in our lives. So before we wrap, I would just like to talk about a couple of shows that are coming up here, as well as, again, re-announce my webinar coming up. So first, again, my live webinar training for coaches and HR professionals to get certified in the Core Values Index tool, the CVI, which is, again, an amazing coaching tool for those of you out there who are coaches. And it's a revolutionary hiring tool for people who do job placement. And for HR professionals who do interviewing and recruiting. So just visit markmywordsradio.com and click on the Coaches Only tab to read all about the CVI Certified Practitioner Program that takes place beginning on August 26th. Again, it's a live webinar led by me, and it results in a certification, as well as some International Coach Federation Continuing Coaching Education Unit credits. The next two shows we've got coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network, Saturday at 10 a.m., Reveal Your Excellence, on camera coach, Renee Ellison. Renee is a certified personal development coach who works with creative entrepreneurs who want to improve their on-camera presentation skills and overall image. So she's going to be interviewing Trevor Thomas. Trevor is the creator of The Journey Inward, a free online community where you can find support from like-minded individuals and groups who are interested in self-discovery. And but before that, on Wednesday at 12 noon, it is Wednesday, August 12th. So that's next week. Your Best Life with Jan Jaffe. She'll be interviewing Gina Costa. Jan is a certified professional coach and also a core well-being dynamics specialist. And she's going to be interviewing Gina Costa, who is a breast cancer survivor and caregiver, as well as a certified coach herself. Gina is dedicated to helping women diagnosed with breast cancer cope with emotional and physical challenges as they gain confidence and feel in control of their lives again.
Well, that about wraps it up for tonight, as I invite you to mark your words if you'd like. If you have feedback about the show, just go to markmywordsradio.com and scroll down to the feedback link. If you'd like to follow the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, just visit us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network and then click on the follow button. Also, visit our website at www.lifecoachradionetworks.com and learn about all of our networks. I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. You can listen to Mark My Words live on the first and third Sundays of every month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as listen to any previous show from my archives at markmywordsradio.com and on iTunes by searching Mark My Words. I look forward to speaking with you all again next time. Thank you for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.